This morning we have this sobering text from the Gospels about John the Baptizer being in prison. John doesn't know how the story is going to go, but he has a good idea. He doesn't think he's going to make it out of prison alive, and he's correct on that. And I can imagine that one of his last hopes and dreams is to find out if Jesus is the one they've all been waiting for. And so he sends his messengers to go meet up with Jesus and to ask Jesus, "Are you the one we've been waiting for?" I can't blame him. He must be pretty frustrated and despairing, confused, being in prison. I've never been in prison, and it's not a fear I live with, and yet I can imagine that I have also been in prison in other ways, inside of myself. Prisons that are not created by bars of steel, but rather things that trap us in grief, anxiety, fear. Perhaps prisons that we create and build around ourselves because we set up all these expectations for others and we aren't willing to change ourselves. That can be a prison. Perhaps we even build a prison out of our expectations for God. We expect God to do what we want God to do. We would like God to listen to us better about how things ought to be. Like John, who's in an actual prison, we know and believe that Jesus came, the Messiah came to transform the world with God's redeeming love. And yet we look around us and say, well then, why aren't things fully set to right? I thought when God got on the scene, things would be transformed, hey presto, and we wouldn't have violence. We wouldn't have oppression. We wouldn't have senseless suffering. We wouldn't have disease and affliction and illness. We would all be free from those prisons. So John, who believes that Jesus might be the Messiah, is also living with the tension of the world not being quite right yet. Anyone relate? I believe Jesus came to live among us and is and was the Messiah and will come again to complete the task. And yet I look around and I see things that make me wonder. Perhaps we can relate to John the Baptizer in prison, wondering, are you the one we've been waiting for? And if so, why all this pain and suffering? You know, I imagine the early Christians had a very different way of listening to this story and imagining it. Many communities in the early church lived under constant threat of persecution, constant threat of being thrown into prison because they proclaimed that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they would walk together from house church to house church and encourage one another in secret. And if they saw a Roman official or somebody that looked powerful, they would get real quiet and not trust that those good news stories could be shared broadly for fear of being thrown into prison and worse. So I imagine when they heard this story passed along through the oral tradition, they would have listened for their own experience of being under threat of death and lifted up their own longing for Jesus to be the Messiah, the one who will finally set things to right. Some of those early Christians that James is writing a letter to this morning would have met Jesus. They would have seen his miraculous healings and heard his wonderful teachings. And I think that would make them even more confused. Where is he now? Why doesn't he come back today and finish the job? Jesus tells us, and tells those messengers sent by John the Baptizer from prison, to look around us, to listen, to see those signs that point to the Messiah. Those outward and visible signs that reveal to us constantly that God's transforming love, that Messiah energy that came to transform this world, is still here present, working in the world. I can get so fixated on what is despairing and cynical that I forget to look and listen to what God is still doing in the world, all at the same time. Jesus directs us to those acts of healing and restoration that point to the arrival of the Messiah. Outward and visible signs. Some of you know that when I say outward and visible signs, that's Episcopal Church speak for what a sacrament is. A sacrament, with a capital S, sacrament, is an outward and visible sign of an inner grace, something we can't see but know is real. Holy Eucharist is an outward and visible sign that we are feasting in the grace and mercy and love of God together, not only today, for eternity, with all the saints gathered in light. It's a beautiful outward and visible sign of an inward grace. Baptism, which we celebrated a few weeks ago at this service, baptism is another sacrament with a capital S, an outward and visible sign that we are welcoming one another into the household of God with open arms and making promises to one another, to raise one another up, to encourage one another in faith and growth and redemption. Those are not the only sacraments for the people of God. In the 2 weeks between now and Christmas, one thing we can do to prepare to meet the Messiah yet again is to look for the Messiah's handiwork all around us. Go around your days looking for the fingerprints of the Messiah, those outward and visible signs of God's love in your whole life. Look for them in other people as you see someone tenderly caring for someone. Look for them among the news shared by friends in Christmas letters and cards and phone calls. Look in your own heart. Look in your own mind for the ways that you are forgiving other people and asking for forgiveness, letting grace abound in relationships and between yourself and God. Outward and visible signs are all around us, pointing to the healing and restoring love of the Messiah, who came and lived among us and will come again.
Amen.